You're listening to Clifford Kelly on Straight Truth Radio, the podcast.
Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Straight Truth Radio Podcast, the place where the lip of truth endures forever. I am your host, Cliff Kelly. Thank you for tuning in this evening here where we are just trying to bring an understanding to end time events. We're going to go ahead and get started with this episode, which we are calling Keeping the Fire in a Lukewarm Age. Keeping the Fire in a Lukewarm Age. Just before we get started, we wanted to, again, give you a few ways that you can contact us. You can always contact us at our email address, straighttruthradio@yahoo.com, straighttruthradio@yahoo.com. You can also always check the website. It's loaded up as soon as possible after each episode at straighttruthradio.com. That's straighttruthradio.com. We have the other site that we don't use it as much, but it's still active. So, but that is the number four straighttruth.org. That's fourstraighttruth.org. Also over here, if you're watching us live right over here, you see in the corner there, the QR code. We have the QR code for those of you who are watching us via YouTube, Twitter. Oh, and this Facebook page. If you scan on the QR code, you can see all of the podcast formats that we use once each episode is loaded up. So you can always keep up with what it is that Straight Truth Radio Podcast is doing. I wanted to, just before we got started, I had a note here to recognize our, and I don't know what I did with it. Give me a second here. I want to find it because I want to acknowledge, it's very important to acknowledge those who are watching us, watching and listening. Where did it go? I had it here and I was shuffling stuff around. What did I do with that note? I'm going to find it because I want to make sure that I acknowledge these people. Anyway, we are being heard across the world. This is a ministry being heard across the world. And we thank God. We thank God for you. We never thought about what are we going to do and how are we going to get this out. We just heard a call of God to speak a word of truth to the nation, and you don't worry about it. You just do what God tells you to do, and He will, keep His word. And so we wanted to acknowledge, if I can find it, because I know I pulled it out here. We want to make sure that we gave a shout out to all these countries that we are being recognized on. I don't have it here, and I don't know why I had it. Anyway, let's get into this episode. So, and tonight we were talking about how to keep your fire in a lukewarm age. We know that when we read the book of Revelation, and a lot of people try and stay away from the book of Revelation because it appears that the book of Revelation is very scary, very horrifying. It's an apocalyptic book that, people are just scared to even mess with, and so they just won't study it, and so because some people won't study it, then they just they don't understand that the book of Revelation says that you are blessed if you read the book, and so excuse me, this printer is print. Somebody, thank you, dear. She sent this link so I could read this to you. So we will acknowledge them in just a minute. Thank you. But Well, we find out that that you're blessed if you read the book. You're blessed by just the reading and studying of this book. I would advise you to get into the book of Revelations, chapter 1, and find where, you know, John, the Lord is admonishing through the writer that we are blessed through the reading of this book. And so, so to avoid examining the book of Revelation, and it's mainly because there are those who don't have, haven't been given a revelation or the wisdom of the book. But if, what does the Bible say about wisdom? If you lack wisdom, ask of God, who gives to you liberally and abradeth not. You know, so in other words, if you are really asking for the wisdom of God's word, he will pour out his wisdom as you are seeking his face. He'll give you what it is that you are to know, because he wants a witness in the earth. And so when we don't take advantage of the opportunity to really seek God in an earnest way, then that is a spirit of lukewarmness right there. And so when we look at the book, we look at what John wrote. Obviously, the obvious things first. We understand that John wrote to seven churches, right? So he wrote to the church of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And so these seven churches of Asia, and there was something that there was a theme about these churches. So Ephesus, the church that has abandoned its first love for Christ and the teachings of Revelation. Smyrna, the church that remains faithful amidst persecution. Pergamum, the church that compromised its beliefs. Thyatira, the church that follows false prophets. Sardis, the church that is spiritually dead. Philadelphia, the church that patiently endured despite weakness. And then Laodicea, the church with lukewarm faith. Now, there is the teaching, and I won't argue or debate this at all, but there's the teaching that these are the seven spirits that is in the church. I won't debate that, because we have to keep in mind that there are many people. First of all, the Bible tells us that you are the spirit, or you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So when you're talking about the church, you're talking about the person, you, not the building. Not the building, not the four walls that we go into and worship and hear the word. That's not it. The building is not going to be judged. The person that goes back and forth in and out of the building, or if you go at all, that is the person that stands to be judged before the Lord for the deeds that have been done in our body, both good and evil. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So when I refer to the church of, or when I talk about church, I'm really talking about the body. I'm talking about you and me, the person. So, but when we look at this spirit of lukewarmness, and again we're talking, again the subject is keeping the fire in a lukewarm age. When we're looking at this spirit of lukewarmness, one of the main thing that we have to acknowledge and look at is that this church was not rapture ready. If you notice over my shoulder here, you see I keep this sign here, and it asks the question, are you rapture ready? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. And so the lukewarm church is not rapture ready. And when John was writing and advising what the Lord is saying about this church, he said, I wish that you were hot or cold, but because you are neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. And so what do we have to be careful of so then that we are not subject to being rejected by God? See, it's one thing to be rejected by man. That's you know, no man has a heaven or hell to place anybody in. No man. I don't care how they try and, you know, judge you and lie on you and lie to you and whatever that state or case may be. No one can place you in heaven or hell. But it is your leader, spiritual leader, in which we are supposed to submit ourselves to the higher authority, to our pastors and to our leaders, because they have to give an account for your soul. Now, the question is, are you getting true biblical teaching that challenges you to live in such a way that you deny yourself so that you can truly follow him uncompromisingly? That is something that you have to look at. And so when you look at the person or trying to keep your fire in a lukewarm age, what is it about this lukewarm spirit? Well, when you look at the lukewarm person, you can see that you're neither hot nor cold. So you're half and half. You're lukewarm. The Lord again says, I wish that you were hot or cold. At least if you were hot, I could use you. If you were cold, I can set you on fire. But because you are neither hot nor cold, you're no use. And the lukewarm, the person that is no use, God says, I will spew you out of my mouth. So when you have a half and half person, so watch this. The lukewarm church, and again, when I say church, I'm talking about person. The lukewarm person is only half committed to self-denial and to the sacrificial life, right? That's it. So let's see what some of the word, see what the word of God says about this half-committed, half-committal to self-denial. Jesus says unto, and I'm reading from Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, when you read the story about this person, he was so so haughty because he had great possessions. And he asked this teacher, he said, teacher, a good teacher, he said, why do you call me good? And so he said, there's no one good but God, right? So watch this. What Jesus was laying down is that there is no good thing in the flesh, right? This is what Paul says. There's no good thing in the flesh. Jesus wasn't even giving himself the excuse that I'm good or the only one good, whatever, because Jesus also said it's not me doing the work, it's the Father in me. He's doing the work. So Jesus never at any point in time gave praise unto his flesh, his self, right? So he says right here, he says, so this person, he told him, he asked him, the young man asked Jesus, what shall I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And so Jesus told him, you know, honor your father and mother. He gave him the commands. He said, well, all these things I've done since I was a child. So he told him, okay, well then go sell all that you have and give to the poor. Take up your cross and come follow me. And then the next thing, what happened? He left. He left grievously. Why? Because he had great possessions. And it's not that he had great possessions. What he possessed had him. Think about that. What is it that you can't part with? What is it that stands in the way of a undeniable, loving, uncompromising relationship with Christ? Is it? I was listening to a pastor today. We're talking about all these cell phones and he just ran the gambit on the things that we have, our possessions, the things that get in the way of us following God. What is it that holds you up from following Christ, from you being fully committed to Christ? So the lukewarm person, not only, is half committed to self-denial, but they're half committed. The lukewarm person is half committed to church. Watch this word here. He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25. How many of us are half committed to Christ that we can't even come to church? You come whenever, come whenever you get ready. Well, I think I'll go in and check the box today. God ought to be glad that I came in and I served him. And I gave him some time. He really should be glad. Really? He should be glad? That's something to think about. So the lukewarm person is half committed to attending and staying awake and learning in the services of the church. Watch this. Saint John chapter 5 verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Just read a couple of scriptures here. Acts 17 verse 11. These were more noble than the Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. There has to be a burning desire in you that even when your pastor, or whether you are in the church, whether you are part of an e-church somewhere, that when the pastor is given the word, you don't take the man or woman of God at their word. Go back and examine the word of God and see what the word is saying. Go back and see what is the word of God saying. There's a lukewarmness. A lukewarm person half commits to supporting the church. A lukewarm person half commits to witnessing. A lukewarm person half commits to studying the Bible and praying. Watch this. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And so how do you keep the fire going? How do you keep yourself on fire when you have, I got to read this before we leave. How do you keep yourself going in a time of lukewarmness, in a lukewarm age? Let me give you these 4 points. And I simply call this Operation Patience. Operation, number one, Operation Patience. Patience. So you know that when the United States will go to war, like take for instance the Iraq War, when there was an assignment and they were getting ready to attack or whatever, Operation something, you know, whatever. And so the Iraq war was Operation Desert Storm. You get what I'm saying there. So Operation Patience, number one, or just say Patience, number one. Let's go to Luke. What is that? Luke 21. I'm going to read a few verses here. Luke 21, verse 19. Watch this. Jesus said, in your patience, you possess your soul. How do you keep your fire? How do you keep the fire in a lukewarm age? Number one, you have to let patience. Well, I don't want to jump ahead of myself. But we're talking Operation Patience. Patience is number one. And in your patience, you possess your soul. Let's go here to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. And it says, let me start back here at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us the exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Look what patience works toward. It works toward godliness. And to godliness, brother kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to James. James chapter 1. Over here, James chapter 1, verse 4. He says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. See, what happens is, when you allow patience to have its perfect work, patience is like, remember when I talked about, if you've paid attention and if you've watched past episodes of this podcast, I talked about faith, this big thing about faith. And when I would talk about faith, I would say that faith is a muscle. And faith goes out and it works for you. Well, patience does the same thing. When you allow patience to have her perfect work in you, patience is working things out in you and moving you into godliness. And this is just one step in how you keep the fire in a lukewarm age. Number two, look away. Look away. Let me go over here to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. Well, let me back up. I'm going to start back here. Read a little bit. Let me start back here at verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Verse 15, Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we have to look away. You got to look away from the world and the world system. Let's continue reading. Let's go over here to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. He says, again, we're in step 2, looking away, right? Looking away from the world. So if I look away from the world, what am I supposed to, what am I doing? Verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on the things of the on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So the love of the world should not be in you if you're truly in Christ. Because really, we should be dead to this system. We should be dead to the system of the world. And I want to be nice there. We should be dead to the system of the world. And if we're truly dead to the system of the world, then we are not getting wrapped up in, if we're truly in Christ, we're not getting wrapped up in societies and organizations, those things that don't have any, that don't bring any glorification to God. They tickle the flesh. They don't do anything for the spirit, man. You tell me how a secret society brings any glorification to the spirit, man, and to the glory of God. How? It can't. Because it's of the world. How we get in these organizations is of the world. God don't. Let me keep reading. Second Timothy chapter two, verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So God has called us to be soldiers. He's called us to you know, we used to sing a song back in church, and I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. Well, guess what? If we are truly soldiers in the army of the Lord, then there are things in the world, watch this, we're infiltrating the world, doing and doing things that is not in alignment with being a soldier in the Lord. And we are abandoning our first call to be a soldier in Christ. And so that's number two. Number two, look away. Number one was patience. Number two is look away. Number three is evict fear. Evict fear. Let's go over here to, let me go over here to Saint, 1 John. 1 John. First John chapter 4, verse 18. Let me start back here. I'm going to start back here verse 15 first. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. Watch this. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect fear casts out fear. Because fear, what does fear have? Fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Do you see that? So watch this. God, verse 16, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love, if you dwell in love, then you're dwelling in God. Because what is God? God is love. And if you dwell in God, then he is dwelling. If you're dwelling in God, then you're dwelling in love. And if you're dwelling in love, you're dwelling in God. And if you dwell in him, he is dwelling in you. But here's the thing. If that's so, then there's no room for fear. So the question is, if we are fearful about anything, if we're fearful about anything, if we're fearful about anything, then the question is, how is our love life? Because perfect love casts out fear. Now, again, you know, the scripture, I don't even, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love. Notice that notice what Paul said, the very first thing that he said, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. So then if we are operating in love, then there's no room for fear. And if we have fear, we have something that God has not given us. No, God has not given us fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And that's number three. So number one is patience. Number two is look away. Number three is evict fear. We're talking about how to keep fire, how to keep the fire in a lukewarm age. Number four, stay in the mirror. So watch this. The word of God is the mirror. And so if I stay in the word of God, if I keep this mirror in front of me, then I have a hard time poking at you if I'm in the mirror. Right? And so I say, stay in the mirror. So let's go over here to Psalms. Let's go over here to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Verse 1. And you can read the whole psalm. I just decided to abbreviate it. So, right here, watch this. So, allow the word of God to be the mirror and direct you to the one who is on point to clean you up and clean you out. Watch this. Verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings and my uprisings. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Now, I'm not going to continue to read that, but let me go down here to verse 23. Verse 23. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." See, when I keep the mirror before me, then I understand every day I have things that I have to clean up too. While I'm trying to share the word of God and give direction, even while I'm trying to give direction, I have to take direction from the word, from God, and from the word of God. And so none of us is without excuse. But now, also, last point of staying in the mirror. Romans chapter 12, I'll start here, verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is," watch this, "your reasonable service." Now, verse 2, here it is. "And be not conformed to this world." A word that we hear all the time, every day, all the time. A word that we should know. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God." Let me say that again. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." And so, in order to keep the fire in a lukewarm age, in these lukewarm times, you have to, number one, let patience have a perfect work. Let patience work on us. Sit still. Watch this. "Be still and know that I am God." And while we're being still in God, abiding in Him and Him abiding in us, patience is working on you and having her perfect work. Number one, patience. Number two, look away. Don't get caught up in the world system. "Love not the world, neither the things in the world, because if we love the world, if we get caught up in their system, the love of the Father is not in us." But then the catch-all, too, if you love in the world, you can't love the world and love the Father, too, because, number one, God is love, right? And if God is love, then you can't love the world. And if God is love, perfect love casts out all fear. And there's no fear. There's no fear in love. There's no room for it, because God has not given us the spirit of fear. So, again, patience, look away, evict fear. Evict, hold on, let me see something. Then I did a podcast once, and I talked about fear. And what did I say the acronyms for fear was? I'm about to look it up right now. See, once I teach a lesson, I just kind of put it down and let it go, and I just forget. Okay, that's fear. Watch this. The acronym for fear: forces affecting Adonai's redeemed remnant. So when we operate in fear, we are yielding to those forces. Watch this. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? But against powers and principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against the rules of darkness, right? So If we're operating in fear, then we're yielding to forces that affect Adonai's redeemed remnant. That's two R's there. Redeemed remnant. We're yielding to a system that we have power over. And so to make sure that you keep that fire burning, that's number three. Number four, stay in the mirror. Search me, O God. Know me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me into the way everlasting. Try me. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me into the way everlasting. Wait a minute. Watch this. Let's go back to that old word of God. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name. Do what? Humble yourself. Seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways. You talking about search me, O God? What is he searching you for? To see if you got any wicked way in you. He says, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I hear from heaven. And I'll heal your land. So maybe some things are not happening. Some changes are not happening in our lives because taking advantage of applying all of the recipe that is needed to bake the cake. Humble ourselves. Seek his face. And if we seek his face, that means we can't love the world. We can't be attached to the world, to the world system, to the things that the world does. Humble ourselves. Seek his face. Turn from our wicked ways. And then he'll hear from heaven and heal our land. And now my eyes are open and my ears attended to your prayer. And so we're going to close here. We're going to close here. I know we're a little long and I said we were going to do shorter episodes, but I had to get all this in. I had to get all this in. So we just wanted to acknowledge. We wanted to acknowledge those who are watching and listening to us across the world. Remember, the word of God said in Matthew 24, when the disciples asked Jesus, what shall be the sign of your coming? And the end of the, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? Remember, Jesus told them in that same chapter, Matthew 24, verse 14, he said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. And so again, we're grateful for the viewing and listening audience. And so we just want to pour out a great God bless you to those of you who listen to us right here in the great United States of America, but also in Canada and Germany, India, Pakistan, Russia, Australia, South Korea, Zambia, Turkey, the Philippines, Ireland, Thailand, Barbados, Jamaica, Colombia, Norway, Argentina, Ghana, Netherlands, South Africa, Nigeria, and Spain. So we don't say God bless you to all of you. God bless you to all of us. All of you continue to please listen and share. Last item, you want, please be in prayer. Please be in prayer. As we have taught about the sixth trumpet war, and we are so close to things happening. Please pay attention to what is happening over with Israel and along the Euphrates River, in particular with Iran. Again, we see and we notice that they are Iran is enriching that uranium, And they are almost at a place where they can make a nuclear bomb. Israel's not going to stand for that. Israel is such a small country. One bomb would totally wipe them out. And Iran has promised to drive them into the sea. They've already promised that. And so we wait in expectation. Now, to be honest, we can't pray to God to drive these things away. Oh, let's overturn this. No, what we should be praying is, Lord, I want to be ready no matter what happens. I want my family to be ready no matter what happens. God's word has gone out and it's not going to return to him void. And these things are in his word. So no matter how we leave, let's leave ready. Rapture ready. Again, so that is it. This is the Straight Truth Radio podcast. Again, we want to thank you for tuning in. The place where the lip of truth endures forever. I'm your host, again, Cliff Kelly. And again, as we always say, remember, hold on to him that is able to keep you from failing and from falling. Remember, we are not sinless. We sin less because of him who is able to keep us from falling. And so remember, tune in again at the same time next week. We'll bring back another episode. There are some things we really want to pour into you out of the book of Revelation. So please pay close attention. We are not going to stray away from the book of Revelation because there's a blessing in knowing what is coming out of the word of God in the book of Revelation. So again, until you see us next week, stay strong, stay true. Here at the Straight Truth Radio podcast, we're just trying to bring the understanding to end time events. God bless you. We will see you next week.